regular session of the Berlin Mayor and Council for Monday, November 10th, 2014. I'd like to invite everyone to join the Mayor and Council in reciting the Lord's Prayer. Our Father,
Lord in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Please join us in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which stands one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
We're going to start tonight a little different. Will you join me down in front?
Sir.
We're going to have the swearing in. Is this a productive re-swearing?
I'm not sure what it's re-swearing.
I'm sure.
Okay. And basically, if you'll remember, the first Tuesday of the month, we had a non-election election. And Councilman Troy Purnell was unopposed, and so now I'm going to swear him in for his second full term. Okay. I'll just say, I,
Troy Purnell,
do swear and affirm.
Do swear and affirm
that I will support the Constitution.
That I will support the Constitution
of the United States.
Of the United States.
And that I will be faithful.
And I'll be faithful.
And bear true allegiance.
And bear true allegiance
to the state of Maryland.
To the state of Maryland.
And support the Constitution.
And support the Constitution.
And laws thereof.
And laws thereof.
And that I will.
And that I will.
To the best of my skill.
To the best of my skill.
And judgment.
And judgment.
Diligently and faithfully.
Diligently and faithfully.
Without partiality or prejudice.
Without partiality or prejudice.
Execute the office.
Execute the office.
Of council member of the town of Berlin.
Of council member of the town of Berlin.
According to the Constitution and laws of this state.
According to the Constitution and laws of this state.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Just be sure to sign that.
Okay.
And then you're officially
assistant. We can do that.
Thank you. Second item on the agenda is the approval of the regular session minutes of the October 27th meeting.
I have a change on that, please, Mayor. With the discussion with Tom Schultes, I had made a motion to close the Washington Street after the lengthy discussion that we had.
Okay, about where is it?
It was the second paragraph from the answer.
Oh, okay. Thank you. And it should say council member
Goulis
made a motion.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Sharon will get that squared away, and we'll get the revised copy in our next packet.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much. Any other corrections or additions to the minutes as they are proposed? We have a motion to approve the minutes.
Motion to approve.
We have a motion to approve the minutes by Council Member Brittingham for the regular session of Monday, October 27th. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed?
I wasn't okay. Here all
clean. Okay. So we let the motion pass 4-0 with Council Member Purnell abstaining. Next is the executive session minutes of October 27th. Are there any corrections or additions?
Motion to approve.
Okay, we have a motion by Council Member Hall to approve the executive session minutes. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Okay, the minutes are approved with a 4-0 vote with Council Member Purnell abstaining. The reason that executive session was held was to consider the acquisition of real property for a public purpose and matters directly related thereto. Next, item 3 is approval of a pilot agreement with Cannery Village. Those of you following this Cannery Village, the original concept was proposed at least 10 years ago. It changed dramatically over the years, and back in October of 2013, a year ago, we came to an agreement that the developer and, of course, the property owner, who had this vision all along, is Mr. Frank Gunyon, who is otherwise known as Mr. Southman Dunder, and he has been for years trying to find a feasible way that would be beneficial to the community to provide some affordable housing to the town. So what we did is we agreed, there had been some negotiation back and forth, but it was very cordial, and we were all on the same page pretty much throughout, that we would, he would develop 45 lots into homes for what he's calling Cannery Village. And the unique thing about it is that after 15 years, a certain portion of the monthly rent goes towards a down payment. And the property owner has the option, we're not forced to, but they have the option then of applying that with other equity, you know, other money that they set aside, to then purchase that home and make it their own. To me, this rent to own is, I like the idea. Let's face it, not everybody right out of the box. I know when I got out of college, and my wife got out of college, there was no way we were going to come out and buy a home. We were just worried about paying the basic bills, and still do to a greater extent. But the fact is that you build up to a point where you have the equity to purchase a home. And this helps people who otherwise are good people, they're working, they're trying to do the right thing, and it gives them an opportunity to be a homeowner in Berlin. I think it will be an asset to the community. So, tonight, who would be the best to explain the idea of the agreement that we're being asked to consider?
Do you want to walk through? You want to go ahead and walk through the...
Well, what it does is... This is an agreement through the tax property article, which, as long as Cannery Village continues with their program of renting to own, that they will get a tax break. They will be paying less in property taxes to the town. It's over a 40-year period of what this holds. But it's a standard agreement. It's been done before throughout the state. I know there's been a couple of these in Salisbury. I've reviewed it. It's fine. I don't see any issue with it.
It's a follow-up to the resolution that you approved when you initially expressed support of the project. So I've agreed to provide earlier on in the process. And Andrew Hansen's here. Representing you.
Yeah, I'm ready to move on. Basically, we want to make sure that obviously, we understand the ramifications of the agreement, and so does the public. And although we know you are the producer.
Sure, absolutely. Andrew Hansen with Osprey Property Company. Happy to be back in front of you. And if you're willing, I'm happy to give you a kind of a global update, not just on the pilot, but on the property project.
Great.
Overall. And I don't know if I have quite enough, but I brought sort of an update from when you've seen it in the past, since it's been many months, that sort of shows you where we are. We've been working diligently with members of your staff to get a pretty detailed plan reviewed, commented on from the site plan perspective. Your consultants have gotten us comments. We made a resubmission, and actually Wednesday of this week have a meeting with our engineer and your staff and your engineers to try and resolve the last of the open items, which in my mind have shrunk considerably down to just a few relatively minor items, a few items to be able to make hopefully a final resubmission for approval so that we can work towards getting started in the next few weeks. I know that our plat is in, and I believe being reviewed. Our investor is very far into their due diligence. We've gotten our own internal approval, so we're making a lot of progress. In fact, One of the big hurdles was the construction budget, and that came back just this morning. And actually, I was concerned it might go up because of the escalating market, but thankfully, it is still within budget. So we're on track, hopefully, as long as the weather cooperates and the state, who's very busy with other things. But hopefully, we can get started in the perfect world before the December holidays. But realistically, we'll probably start in January. Mm-hmm.
We're break ground?
Yes, ma'am.
First of January?
That's the goal.
That's excellent. As I know, it was very kind of difficult for you to estimate when we first came to this understanding a year ago. There was too many moving parts to move forward.
Thank you.
So in your package is sort of an elevation from the front, as well as the elevation from the front site plan, and then some floor plans as well. So this is, as in fact, to be honest, I don't think I needed to be here. The mayor said it better than I could, but this is a 45-lot community. The 45th lot represents a community center on site at lot number 7. That's the leasing office. That's the gathering space for the residents. The other 44 lots are all homes that will be rented. There are 36 four-bedrooms and 8 two-bedrooms. Those are actually duplexes from the street. They look like a four-bedroom, but they are 2 two-bedrooms joined together, so they'll have a front access and a rear access. I better get my notes out since you're taking them. Let's see here. Yes, ma'am. 36 4-bedrooms, 8 2-bedrooms, and the one, what appears to be a 4-bedroom, but really is a community center from the inside. And the 2-bedrooms will start at, let's see, $400 a month, and the 4-bedrooms will start at $500 a month, with the most expensive being either approximately $750 per month or $850 a month for a 2 or 4-bedroom.
Well, that's awesome. That's a big problem in this area, is affordable housing. I'm excited for this project.
Thank you. Unless you have other specific questions, I'm happy to, if need be, expand on the payment in lieu of taxes agreement. Or
I just want to make sure everyone understands. Basically, it's a tax break, right? The simple everyday language. And is one thing I read it again just before it came up. Is this in perpetuity?
This is a
15 years.
It's a 15-year agreement.
Okay.
So we, to summarize what the discussion, we have requested and through a competitive process received financing from the Maryland Department of Housing and Community Development, known as DHCD or CDA. So they awarded us some federal resources that they administer, known as tax credits that are specific to affordable housing, as well as some loan funds that they also make available. We agreed to accept those resources and keep the property affordable for 40 years. However, they were willing to, and we negotiated that we could sell these to folks who have moved in and rented as a qualified person under the program to them starting in year 16. And our plan was set up so that we could, in fact, rent these. That's why we have the subdivision plat as opposed to just the site plan being reviewed, so that as a part of our closing, we'll have 45 fee simple lots. We'll own them all until roughly year 16, at which point the goal would be to have the residents who are tenants at that point become homeowners. If their rent is $750, the goal would be to sell it to them so that their new mortgage payment, including all the escrow, is a $750. The 45th home, which is the community center, would also then become property of our partner, Habitat for Humanity of Worcester County. And they would do some minor conversions of that from a community space back into a home, and they would sell that to one of their partner families.
And I really think that what the big advantage here is that, in addition to having affordable housing, it gives people an opportunity to become permanent members of the community, rather than renting and then literally having to move and relocate, even if it's nearby. I just think it has multiple advantages. Obviously, one, growing deep roots in the community, becoming active citizens in the community and through various organizations. And also, of course, the idea that children then, think of this as their home, and I think you're right, have more stability.
The other things that are interesting is this is all one-floor living. So these are ranchers. We matched the architecture as best we could of the community. So there won't be any steps. So not just families, but in theory, you could have the two bedrooms could be occupied by any, could be seniors, could be retirees, could be people just starting out. And with a four-bedroom home, in theory, you could also have multi-generations where somebody might downsize, but a younger family might need some help, especially with the cost of daycare and other things. So we're excited to see the prospective folks who are interested in applying and moving in.
Good.
And the other thing I should be pointed out is the opportunity for people to purchase a home that they might normally not be able to have that opportunity. With them renting to own, it gives them a sense of ownership, and they take better care of their home because they know that, it's not a rental, don't be gentle. They're going to own it someday, and they take care of it. They take pride in it.
The other developers who have used this program in the state, one in particular is in year 10, maybe approaching year 11, and it was 65 units, and 90% of the way to the process here at year 10 or 11 out of the 15 years, not quite that much, 75%. In any case, there are over 50-plus people that were original to the community from when they first opened still living there. So that's phenomenal. Turnover is low. Folks, as you said, pride of ownership. They want to maintain it. They want to have a nice community.
These are all the cement slab, too, right?
Correct. Slab on grade.
What's the problem with it?
Slab on grade.
We didn't put basements in. It didn't seem to make sense. And foundation, crawl spaces, same problem with the water table.
Other than meeting certain financial requirements, do you have any other requirements for the people that are going to be tenant prospects that you're looking for? And so what are those?
Certainly. We do a pretty thorough screening process. Let me lay it out this way. We will start construction. We'll put a sign up that is an inquiry list, meaning folks who are interested can call. They can put their name on the list. And then as we are probably 3 or 4 months from delivering units, having use and occupancy permits, we'll start accepting a full application, which will require a Social Security number, which we will use to screen for criminal credit checks. Then they'll also have to meet a minimum maximum income in order to qualify for the program. We have some very specific items that we will not waiver on as it relates to criminal drugs and violent crime, or those that are kind of the bad predatory ones, or things that we will not accept. I think you also have to have some kind of citizenship status as well, but I'm not so certain about that one.
One thing to change, whatever it is.
But this is going along what we did with the cottages of Berlin, trying to bring people in the community and making it available, assisting the developer with getting certain loans with the criteria with the tax abatement. So, no one else would like to have any questions? You have a question? Go ahead.
Yeah, we have a motion to approve the lieu of tax agreement with Cannery Village LLC. The motion was made by Councilman Burrell. All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All opposed? Abstain. We have a tax board to zero with an extension by Councilman Labrie.
Wonderful.
Very good. Congratulations.
Thanks very much.
Glad to see that we're all to this point. And very hopeful that this will set a precedent that will be modeled in a lot of other places.
Great. And we'll let you know about the groundbreaking.
Great. Great.
Are you still on track, Andy, to come to the Planning Commission next week? Wednesday?
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah. Great.
good luck.
Thank you.
We're looking excited, really excited for this project.
All right, next, item number four is a request to use the town riser, or sometimes called stage, for the Habitat for Humanity Gala, which will be held this Saturday at the Atlantic Hotel from 7 p.m. to 11 p.m. Is there someone here representing? Come forward and give us your name and make your case, and we'll go from there.
I'm Andrea Bolin. I'm Habitat's executive director. I'd like to speak for a second to what Andrew was talking about before he mentioned that Habitat, we are the nonprofit partner on that, and I'd like to thank you all for your support of the project. Habitat isn't normally involved in rental projects, but because this is a rent-to-home ownership situation, we are able to be involved, and much like you were all speaking about, how that brings a sense of community and makes people a part of it is exactly why we're involved as well.
We're very proud of the three that we recently completed within, I guess, less than 5 years, and in Berlin, and the folks are wonderful folks, and the properties look very nice, and we're looking forward to a long-term relationship.
Absolutely. We have lots of plans that we would love to discuss further in the near future.
Okay. I'm going to put you on the spot. Berlin Mayor and Council, are we considered donors or supporters?
Yes, the town is.
I mean, I never really knew.
Yes, the town is considered of the gala?
Yeah.
Yes, the town is considered a sponsor of the gala, so thank you for that as well. Okay. And we would love to have as many of you attend as possible, and I think, Mr. Mayor, you're planning on attending.
Yes.
And I think, Lisa, you came last year, correct? So anyone else, we would love to have you. Now what we're asking for today is the use of the riser. We have two tents that are going to be set up. One is a large tent that is going to be erected in the front, the courtyard of the Atlantic Hotel, and then we have a secondary tent to the side. We build a pallet stage for the secondary tent, but the front one, we would like to be able to use the riser as kind of the focal point in the tent as you walk in for one of the main bands for the event.
Okay. Basically, would this be something that Public Works would be able to maneuver and place Friday afternoon?
Yeah, we've been over there. Andrea's been over there, and I've met with Bob and Dave, and they feel it won't be too much trouble.
Okay. We're certainly doing enough for all these other events.
Specifically for which event would the RISE be used?
It would be for the Habitat for Humanity Gala this Saturday, and it's from 7 to 11.
But you talked about having an event where a stage will be used.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me about that.
At the same time.
Yeah.
Yes. It's all the event itself is we have different areas. So that area that it would be in would be kind of the main tent that we have. And so we would need the stage from approximately, I think, we're using it from the beginning. So it would be from 7 to 8 for one band, and then we'll do a presentation, and then we'll have another band, yes.
Okay.
So two bands and a presentation we would need the stage for.
If I might point out, this is not our stage that we normally put out for other events. This is just a 10-inch riser, 4x8 platform that was built for Oktoberfest a couple years ago.
Yeah. Move to approve. Motion by Councilmember Burrell to approve the use of the riser stage for the Habitat for Humanity Holiday Gala, which is this Saturday. And if we are all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed?
Okay.
You got the first unanimous vote, don't you?
Yep.
Very good. And we wish you, again, we're looking forward to a long-term partnership. We have a very successful fundraiser. And, you're filling a very important need for the community, and I don't see it going out of style anytime soon.
Well, thank you so much, and I thank you all for your support.
You all do great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Next is a request for special event for the New Year's Eve celebration ball drop.
Now this one we do need the stage for. But this is similar to the past, but however, we are moving the stage for this event like we did for Fiddlers or for several events lately so that it's seen on the webcam.
Okay.
So instead of being up against Rains Reef this year, we want to move it out to where it was for Fiddlers so that people can see the ball drop from on TV, on WNBT.
That's a great idea.
That's an excellent idea. And yeah. I think the other thing, it might help you a little bit with crowd control, because
yeah.
that's where the demarcation is between right. traffic and yeah. folks. Mm-hmm. So it just will be a natural barrier.
We also now have the webcam that's now linked to coolberlin.org, which we used for the voting for the coolest small town, but now it takes you directly to the webcam.
Excellent. Does anyone have any questions for Michael regarding the...
I do, Mayor. Mm-hmm. Michael, I've got a question. I know that a lot of other municipalities offer two ball drops. One is typically earlier in the evening for families such as mine with a son that's 10 years old. We've got many neighbors with children in single-digit ages. They're either not awake at midnight, or we just don't want to take them around those type of festivities, especially with alcohol. Have they ever thought about having...
Yes, we have discussed that. In fact, we were planning one, and then we realized our volunteer pool is so small.
Sure.
That to do two events the same night, it was just almost impossible to get those volunteers. Now, maybe in the future we can work on that with parents coming forward to help do it. But right now, through the chamber and what they've been going through, we just could not gather the volunteers.
Possibly next year,
to pull that on. Yeah.
And you just put that on obvious list.
Yeah.
Okay. That'd be a great alternative for some.
It is. I think a great.
Our list is growing.
Yeah. And I will say this: we had our first volunteer recognition.
And I want to point out, Mary had a great idea a couple of years ago when we first started this. Is to time it with Berlin, Germany, because their ball drop will be way ahead of ours.
Oh, that's great.
And I think it's roughly 6 p.m., something like that.
About 6 p.m.
Yeah. And that I think would be cool, because then...
That'd be perfect for all of us.
Yeah. And we might be able to do a link-up of some sort.
Yeah.
Maybe with Melanie Worcester Youth would get, you know, her organization
yep.
involved and have added an event with their girls and their kids in the youth program, and then more volunteers, too.
And this is one thing, there's just, again, I know you've got so much, and I'm trying to make a list of all the things I want to tell to throw it to Ivy and hopefully not run around town before she gets scared to death. But this kind of thing is the thing that is a July, August organization.
Right.
I mean, it's amazing. The lot of the coolest Berlin, coolest Christmas, thing was done in meetings in July and August.
Yeah, it's been
right up
going on.
Here.
Give her my name, Michael. I'll be
got the brochures here.
Yeah, so. I think having the parents.
I will say, though, that I'm every... ball drop, I'm amazed at how many kids are there, how well behaved most everything goes on.
It's not a big, I go with my granddaughter yeah. and, you know, I mean, if you want to hang, you know, around the hotel, the front porch, yeah, you're going to see that, but, you know, right. it's a very nice event. It's yeah. not rowdy and, yeah. you know, I haven't seen anything out of control at them or anything. They've been nice events. And everybody just goes home.
Yeah, and the colder it is, the quicker they leave.
Yeah, but that's right. great idea, and I think also getting the parents involved would be great, because then some really, let's say, younger children could get the experience, and why not?
Absolutely, and I like Mary's idea a lot.
That's cool. Very good. All right, do we have a motion to approve?
So moved.
So thank you. Okay, we have a motion by Councilmember Burrell to approve the New Year's Eve celebration on downtown Berlin. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Okay. Look forward to another very exciting year. We'll kick it off right now.
This one went quick enough.
Okay. I think the next item has been postponed. Is it?
That would be the bleachers.
Okay. Yeah. And you're expecting to put it on the next?
Yeah, bleachers we're going to postpone to the next meeting. If you have any questions, have it resolved, and we'll bring it back.
Okay, no problem. Thanks. Okay, next is a motion to approve reimbursement for a council member's cell phone.
We have a request from a council member for a cell phone reimbursement. It goes back for several months, and council members are entitled to a reimbursement of their cell phone. The same way that employees are, $50 a month. This was an oversight. The council member has asked us to go back to the point that he was eligible for the reimbursement. That amount would be $1,400 because it's over $1,000 that council would need to approve it.
I'd just like to say I think that it's a very reasonable request, and that way it puts everybody on the same playing field. Just so you know, every employee who has a cell phone, their own personal cell phone, and uses it for work can be reimbursed up to, basically it's everybody's treated the same at $50 a month. But it's up to the individual to submit the reimbursement. And here we had a situation where a council member had a fund being supplied by his employer, and quite frankly, just I don't think thought of it when that change in life came about. and quite frankly, I very much would like to see, you know, everybody treated the same. Now, you're not required to do it. It's a judgment made by each individual council member based on how much they use his cell phone. We had one council member in the past who just didn't have a cell phone. Use one at all, so obviously that they did not apply for a reimbursement.
I'll make a motion there.
Okay, a motion by Councilmember Boyes to approve the cell phone reimbursement of $1,400 as requested. And all in favor?
Aye.
All opposed?
Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much. All righty. Next, we have our finance report. Natalie Salee.
Good evening, everyone. I have only a couple of things. We're working on some reporting to Public Service Commission that is in preparation for December hearing for the PCA and ACA rates, which basically we're working closely with Booth and Associates. And the information that they have to provide, some of it that coming from our side, and some of it, majority of it, is coming from Booth and Associates.
This usually happens the first Thursday, the same day as the Christmas parade, right? And who's going to be up there representing us this year?
I believe 18th. Sharon said it's the 18th.
It's the 18th.
Oh,
it's the
18th.
Yeah.
Okay.
Booth and Associates. Usually it conflicts with the Public Service Commission's holiday party, but I don't think it's going to do that this year.
Okay. So who's going to be representing the town?
It'll likely be myself and Terry Burby from Booth and Associates.
Okay.
We're not anticipating a big controversial debate about anything. There was some issue with the PCA calculation, which we got resolved last year. So I think it's going to be pretty much status quo. So likely just be the two of us.
Okay. Very good. That's good. It's been. We resolved so many issues. Hopefully, we won't have any to deal with for a while. Okay. Thank you. Next is a report from Mary Golden, our Deputy Town Administrator.
Thank you, Mayor. We had a nice event, actually two nice events, rather, on Saturday. The Just Walk Berlin event with the Health Department and then the mural ribbon cutting at 11 o'clock. Both events were well attended. We couldn't have had a more gorgeous fall morning to hold them, and everything went very well.
The mural, I hope you do take the time sometime. Either this winter or in the spring, to go out and look at the mural. It's attractive. It's I think it's very very Berlin, very Berlin, Maryland, and I'm very proud of the fact that students created the initial artwork that then Ann Ashman, who's a professional artist, then literally pulled together and. It should be in place for many years.
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Next is, let's see, James Hodges.
Yes,
that's a good way to get out of the report. Next is Electric Director Tim Lawrence.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. I have a few things to report on. The past 2 weeks, mostly we've been working on installing the Christmas lights throughout the downtown area. You may have noticed the new skylines that are up. Mm-hmm. They look totally different from the ones we had before. They're all up. There's six of them total. And then also, all the downtown light poles have the garland and the lights around them, and also the wreaths. You're going to see a big difference this year. The lights that are around the light poles themselves, these are LED lights. so that they're, it's a warm yellow color. They use less energy, but it's going to have a different look to it. We're also going this, the rest of this week after the holiday, starting Wednesday, we'll be starting the trees in the front of the Atlantic Hotel, ones in the back of the Town Hall, and ones up at Pitt Street, and then also up at Oak and West Street. We're also working on a project that was approved by the council a while back for the PLC. It's a programmable logic controller for number 5 engine. Doug Richards is actually here in the crowd tonight. He's here working on that with us. And then also, they replaced the sidewalk up at the drive-through by Taylor Bank on Conrad Street. We had to remove the streetlight pole for that, and we had to reinstall it once it was finished.
How's Doug helping you again?
Doug is the relay specialist for the town. He's a consultant for the electric department, and he's the guy that comes in and programs the Switzer controllers at our substation and then also at the power plant.
Great.
They had to replace the PLC, the original one, basically went bad. So they put
good to see you again.
Good to see you, Mayor.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Next is Police Chief Arnold Dowling.
Good evening, everyone. Proud to say that PFC Collins has been assigned to the Worcester County Bureau of Investigation. She's in a week of acclimation. She'll be going to specialized training this month and taking over for Senior Officer Jason Burnett, who will be promoted in the middle of the month to corporal and be assigned back to the Patrol Division. So, again, we've gotten a lot of accolades from the Sheriff's Office for his hard work and accommodations for his case closure. So we're proud to have him back, and very proud that they is going to be our new corporal and part of the supervisory staff. Halloween was a grand success. We approximate roughly 3,000 visitors. We believe it was the largest trick-or-treat event that we've ever had. We've had reports of some houses having over 2,000 guests, and everything fell in line. We had a lot of families out, and right at 7:15, lights were turned off, and by 8:30, the streets were clean and clear. So, again, at 7 o'clock, they had the haunted tours, the ghost tours that they do, and they did one at 9 o'clock. So again, even after the trick-or-treat events, we did have quite a few people in town on that evening.
That was Worcester Youth, right?
No, actually the private tours that actually do in front of Light Hotel and the walking tours. They had at least 25 people for the first tour, and again, that's been very popular on Friday nights for them. So again, very successful. We really thank Kurt Burbage for doing his hard work and diligence, and Tom Schultz and the Washington Street crew. We came through and we advised them to help us out. Everything was turned off in a matter of minutes, and Public Works came to the barricades without any incidents.
Excellent. Again, I think it's a classic example of what happens when the community pulls together with the same goals and cooperation. It's not all the town. It's all the people in the town. That's making a lot of things special, and I think that's a classic case. There are a lot of communities that are very good places, but they wouldn't even be able to begin to accommodate a third of that many people without all kinds of problems.
And again, we surely didn't do it by ourselves. We have to go ahead and let's say a special thanks out to Maryland State Police and the Worcester County Sheriff's Office for assistance as always.
Please be sure to pass that on all of our behalf.
Thanks, please.
Okay. Next is Planning Director Dave Englehart.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. I just have a couple items. This past Wednesday, we had two meetings. The first was the Historic District Commission, and they met, and that was a short agenda, but they approved the fence at the Burbage Funeral Home, more of a screening fence in the yard there. The Board of Zoning Appeals met right after that. They denied a request for a swimming pool and a shed to be put in an area of setback where it wasn't appropriate. Thursday and Friday, I finished up that last 2 days of the Americans with Disabilities Act architectural accessibility training. It was a Department of Justice sanctioned training. It was hosted by the Bay Area Center for Independent Living. And their executive director, who, you know, they were the host organization, asked me if we could get together as a town and some of these survey issues, if they could use us as a guinea pig. And I said I'd welcome that. So I'll try and put something together with them soon where they basically you tour town facilities, see what issues we have, if we do have any, and I know we do, for accessibility issues, you know, under the ADA. As Laura Allen mentioned earlier, Mr. Hansen, who presented to you tonight for Cannery Village, this Wednesday night will be coming for his final site plan approval to the Planning Commission. He's hopeful of that. And then Thursday, again, the town administrator and I will meet with a gentleman from ISO, the Insurance Services Organization, to do a survey on all our processes in the planning department for permitting. They do it every 4 to 5 years. The last time we had it done was in 2009, and they take into account all the permits we've issued. We give them a lot of numbers, show them our processes, show them our files. They make recommendations, and this is all to help with our insurance rating. So we'll be meeting with him Thursday morning.
Okay,
that's very good. Thank you.
Thank you. Next is Human Resources Director Jeff Fleetwood.
Good evening, Mayor, Council. Two things. One, just to report, Ivy Wells, Michael A's successor, is still inbound to be on the payroll effective on the 24th of November. And then the other thing that I thought it deemed to share, it's that time of the year with poor weather and deer for the folks that travel in and out of the downtown, if you will, Berlin. Deer are running pretty good right now. We've had our first deer strike with a vehicle, with a town vehicle. And last year, we actually had 6 deer strikes total. So, 6. And I know that through legit, the liability carrier, Tom Ainsworth last year, this past week when I went to the legit conference, said that last year was a banner year in the state of Maryland for deer strikes. So you can't do any more than just be observant. It happened, I know, the other day on me coming to work, you know, heading down a backcountry road. You think in your mind, when's it going to happen? Wooded area, when's it going to happen? Saw the eyes way ahead in the wood line. Deer came out. Deer paralleled me down the road and then decided to cut across the front. You slam on brakes. A trash truck behind me. I can see this guy doing this. So deer are not anything to play around with.
Thank you. All right. Next is Economic and Community Development Director Michael Day.
Thank you, Mayor. Piggyback on what Tim was talking about, we are switching the Christmas tree lights to LED as well this year. So I can't thank the electric department enough for their help in helping us decorate the town and the Christmas tree, so we'll be doing that. Thursday, Megan was up at the Savage Visitor Center, Welcome Center on Route 95, and did put together a display for Berlin in one of their windows that they've let us have, so it looked really good in the telephone pictures I saw. I hope she has some more later. And then this Friday, at the Governor's Tourism Conference is in Ocean City this week, and Friday there's a workshop being held here in Berlin of the 25 to 40 tourism officials will be coming over Friday afternoon. Lisa Challenger and myself will be giving them a little workshop on how we became cool, and then a tour of downtown, and hopefully they'll spend some money here Friday afternoon.
Great. Again, these are people that talk to these people about visiting all.
This is ground zero in tourism over there. It's the governor's people. It's called the governor's summit.
Okay.
Thank you
very much.
Question for Jeff. Jeff, Megan's position is a non-exempt position.
Is it exempt?
Exempt.
Yes,
sir. She makes the on-call all the
She's available 24/7, yes.
Okay.
And that, too, because of the odd hours of all those events and activities and nighttime things that go on.
The rationale that I use, yeah, that was part of the, probably 70% of the rationale is she manages a project. And when you get into that with the Fair Labor Standard Act, that's a key component of whether or not an individual should be deemed exempt or not exempt.
Okay. Thank you. Next is a town administrator's report from Laura Allen.
Thank you, Mayor. We've got a couple of updates on some projects I'd like to do first before I get into the purchase orders. On the East Branch Street, sidewalks are in engineering phase. We're focusing on the north side of the street because when we went down the street and counted the electric poles, there were, correct me if I'm wrong, Tim, I think there were 3 on the north side and then 15 on the south side. So going down the south side would have increased the cost of that sidewalk by about $30,000 to $40,000. So we're focusing on the north side. And we will be needing to get easements pretty much from all the property owners. So we've definitely got that in the mix and we'll be going out and talking to them about the project soon. The parade entries are closed. We've got 85 entries. We've collected $3,370 in donations and $595 in entry fees. And I wanted to just reiterate, we will have a shuttle for spectators running from Berlin Intermediate School. And I want to thank Ocean Downs and Hoopers for volunteering both buses and drivers for the evening. Anyone interested in volunteering for the parade, we are still looking for volunteers. And we're holding our next volunteer meeting in Town Hall on the 19th of November at 4:30 p.m.
That's excellent news. That's a all-time high for both.
Yeah, we'll be putting press release out soon with the schedule for the shuttles and folks will know the specific time periods that's operating right before the parade and then start a little bit before the parade ends and run until that night.
Well, please tell all the folks who are working on that, including Joanne and Sharon. The two of them sort of like the nucleus of this organization of the parade is I really like the idea of having a set limit on the entries. I think it gets people to get on the ball and get their paperwork done and make their arrangements and all that, make a commitment. And the other thing, it also limits the length of the parade so that younger kids can get home in a reasonable hour. And quality over quantity. I just think it's the way to go. And thank you all very much for all the work you've already done. And it's obviously already shown paid off. Now just somebody's has to be responsible for the weather dates. Okay. Is that you, Sharon?
Okay.
All right. Sharon.
Very good. Thank you. It's great. Great news.
And then on the strategic plan, we've issued a request for qualifications. This would be comparable to a request for proposals. If you're looking for professional services, it gives you the option to ask for qualifications of people who have done similar projects, and they explain their approach, and then they provide a price, and you use that to make a decision as to who you think would be the best fit to do this kind of work. So we've issued an RFQ for facilitation services. We received 3 proposals. Jeff, Mary, and I reviewed them, and we have a preference. That person will be meeting with the mayor, a couple council members, and myself on the 25th of November to make sure it's a good fit and that the approach makes sense to that working group. But if all goes well, we'll have the contract on the agenda for probably the first meeting in December and hold a kickoff meeting between the facilitator, the council, and staff in January.
Great. So those community strategic meetings and outreach primarily will probably happen in January and February?
I would say so, yeah. The goal being once we get from, past the holidays, we'll have the kickoff meeting with the council and staff, and then shortly after that.
I think just by pure good luck, it's a time when a lot of people don't have a lot of competing things to do, and maybe you'll have a little cabin fever and we'll come out and let us know what you think, because we're really depending on getting public input to help us prioritize what we should be doing and in what order and where our key investments should be now and what things we should be looking at over the long term. We're not just doing it for a 1-year plan, but for 10 years for sure, and then 10 years and beyond. So it's very important, and this is one of those things where citizen input is is going to be critical because we're asking for you to speak up so that we can listen and then we can make decisions based on what, hopefully being informed decisions. Okay.
So I'll go ahead and go through the purchase orders.
Okay.
Purchase order number 1107, the amount of $2,275.50 to Maryland State Retirement for administration fees. Purchase order number 1172 in the amount of $1,189.50 to storage battery for replacement batteries for DPL tie point connection to transmission line. Purchase order number 1173 in the amount of $1,712.50 to feed water treatment systems for chemicals for power plant cooling tower. Purchase order number 1216 in the amount of $1,098.58 to AE Moore Janitorial for floor mats for customer service areas. If I could just take a minute, I did get a question from a council member regarding this purchase order. Wanted to know why we were getting the presidential seal on the mat. That's simply the style by which the text on the mat. What we're doing is getting mats that say Berlin on them, bigger mats than what we have now to protect the carpet, but something that's a little more welcoming than just a solid, plain, green mat. So that's what you have before you. Our intent was to get the design before you today, but we've been going back and forth with them. So I don't, unfortunately, have a photo for you. If you'd like to approve this contingent on seeing the photo, that would be perfectly fine.
The presidential seal, that would probably be the town logo, though.
It's not the logo. It's just a text that says Berlin.
Oh, okay.
Let's see. Where am I? Purchase order number 1083 in the amount of $3,000 to Betson Holt for blanket order for professional services associated with electric utility matters. And purchase order number 1182 in the amount of $3,000 to All Traffic Solutions for annual upgrades and warranties for all traffic speed boards. That concludes our report.
Okay, does anyone have any questions for Laura regarding any of the seven proposed purchase orders?
Make a motion to approve all six purchase orders.
Six.
You should have a revised.
Do
they revise?
Yes.
Yeah, we have revised.
I don't have a revised.
Okay.
Six. All right. Very good. Thank you. All right. We have a motion by Councilman Brayhan to approve the six purchase orders as proposed by the town administrator. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Okay. I don't have any comments this evening.
I just have one thing real quick. I worked the polls last Tuesday, and the voter turnout was really great. I think the mayor might be on that committee for Worcester County, but there was a lot of confusion with folks voting. They didn't know where to vote. And I was working at Buckingham Church, but we went from 2 to 5 locations now in Berlin. And sometimes people, by the time they got to me, it was the second or third location that they had gone to vote. So I just think it was kind of, you know, it prevented some people probably from voting and got discouraged, you know, because they would tell me, I want to vote, just tell me where. So maybe, you know, we could maybe write a letter asking the Board of Elections to try to smooth that out for the next election in 2 years is going to be the presidential election. And
normally it's a bunch of,
you know, I just felt bad for the senior citizens that, you know, you can go to Gold Creek and anybody from the county can vote there, but, you know, they would come and I'd have to send them in their walker, actually their car, to another location. And I just think that voting should be easy and accessible and, you know, for folks to be able to vote.
David, first of all, I'm not on any committee, really.
Oh, okay.
That's just, you know, it's all right. And it is irony. Historically, Worcester County Board of Elections has an outstanding reputation and historically has been, they've been sending them all over the state to train other areas. But this was a problem. It was a real problem. I am convinced that an unknown number of people who left their place of business or where they worked or home to go vote never were able to vote.
Over 200 people were turned away from BIS. Yeah. They started tracking, you know,
per
total for the whole town.
Something if you think you can research this for us.
Sure.
Is there any state law that forbids you using a facility like the intermediate school? Because when when the rezoning was done, I went to the hearing at the Berlin Middle School, Stephen Decatur Middle School. And I said, the rezoning lines, you know, made a couple small suggestions. And I said, that's fine. I said, but whatever you do, make sure that we're maximizing the use of the polling places people have been using for decades. And there was no objection. And of course, that was before the county commissioners. Then everything was turned over to the election. What I'm concerned about is why we've got a big cafeteria and a gym in the Berlin Intermediate School. Is there some law that prevents people from being able to walk in there and they can accommodate at least two, possibly three different districts in that one place? There is plenty of parking, there is plenty of room. It seems like such a simple thing, and people have been going there as long as I can remember to vote. I think before that it was the firehouse. Mm-hmm. And that's been quite long.
We had people from Shaw voting, coming, they vote in Shaw at Shaw Elementary, but they were driving from Shaw to Buckingham Presbyterian to vote. The folks that voted at the multipurpose center had to go to St. Paul's Church. I mean, the Cinepuxent Road folks, the people from Berlin, the town Berlin, were now, we used to go to BIS. I was sending them to Buckingham Elementary School. It was just frustrating.
With a computerized system, I don't understand why you have a specific polling place. If you're a registered Worcester County voter, you should be able to go anywhere in Worcester
County. That's what I've said. Those folks should have been able to stick their card in like Gull Creek and vote, and they were there.
Well, let me ask you.
But I'll check into it because I don't know the answer.
Okay, so check into that because I think here's the thing that defies logic. If anybody in this county can go to Gull Creek for a week and vote early, and that's grown considerably because of the convenience. It doesn't matter where you're from, it doesn't matter what district you're in, and that can be done, then why can't something much more simple and much more convenient, where the polling places are in larger places where larger groups can be handled and are closer to where people actually live? Right. It seems to me this was a major step backwards. And I think that there is a concern generally in many communities, it's not in here, not until now, that there is at least some effort in this country to discourage voting. And we do not want to be a part of that.
And again, as a chief judge, I get to go ahead and speak to it a little bit. And Councilman Hall is definitely on the mark about how many people had to go ahead and move. We know at least two people did not vote at our polling place when they left because they weren't going to go ahead and wait or go somewhere else. In the infinite wisdom, they wanted to go ahead and redistrict, change the districts, and that was done. They wanted to go ahead and make sure that each polling place had those separate ballots, the provisional ballots, so that they could account for them in such a way. Unfortunately, if we try to go ahead and correct it, we're probably going to be a step behind because we're going to change the system in 2 years. Looks like we're going to go back to paper ballots instead of computer, and it's going to be, back to the dark ages with that type of concept.
Why?
So, again...
You know, I mean, this is something that...
I think that, again, it would behoove the council or the citizens to go ahead and ask those questions.
Yeah.
Why are these changes? Because... With early voting was the great success. And to go ahead and think the concept of actually they're putting two early voting, one in the south end, one in the north end, and one central located, and allow it to be for extended more period of time, is going to be more convenient than what we've actually been doing, with the regular voting itself.
Thank you. Well, I appreciate it. And again, do I have the permission of the council then to write a letter and follow up and get back to you with whatever we find? Because I think basically, regardless of where people live in this county, regardless how long they've lived here, I think we should be making it as convenient as possible to get the highest level of participation, regardless of party and all that other stuff. Okay.
The other thing, Chief, I noticed today on William Street, they put those bike marks in the road. So I want everybody to be careful now that there's people riding bikes in the road. That's kind of like a designated bike lane now.
That's right.
Good. Yeah, that's very good.
I just wanted to say quickly, welcome back, Councilman Bonnell. Didn't want to forget you.
Very good, thank you.
Get used to it.
Back to the sidewalks. By putting the sidewalks on the north side really makes sense, because when they finished the other side on Flower Street, they ended up on the north side on Branch Street.
It's a little tight.
And it's just curved around and then stopped. So by taking off from that point on the north side, it makes sense. So I agree with you.
Okay, thank you.
I wish Jane was here, because I don't know whose idea it was to remove those plants from Henry Park.
Oh, yeah.
But it really looks nice.
That was a park meeting, right, Mary?
Well, it was a combination of Public Works and the Parks Commission discussing it, knowing something needed to be done with the railroad ties. Ultimately, Public Works came up with the design for the area and really did a great job.
So, now, if we could get that big plant in the middle, knock down some, it would be really nice.
You pass that on to
Jane.
I'll let her know you're appreciative of
yeah.
her.
Yeah. Great. Thank you. Next, do we have any comments from the public? Anybody wish to address the mayor and council? Come right on down.
Beth Corley.
Yes.
Yeah. And I brought some gentlemen here with me tonight.
Sure. Just introduce yourselves for the record.
I'm Patrick Truitt.
Trez Dang.
Yep.
Jim Solomon.
Thank you.
I did attend the Parks Commission meeting, and it was brought up, you know, and some things were talked about, and there's a lot of questions and concerns, and we have some answers and solutions, and we're looking to go ahead and have it become a topic for, as you said, as suggested.
Yes, we're going to hear whatever you have to say, but this is one of the things that we want to, will obviously be presented for discussion through the strategic planning meetings. And another idea that I think I read in the paper, first I heard, I think it has possibilities, you know, at this very early stage, is seeking a temporary location as a bridge between the immediate future and maybe what the ideal, because I think the what was presented last time sounded fabulous, but it might take some time and money, whereas a at least a good, decent, but temporary skateboard park would be something that would be feasible and be able to happen on a much faster track. And so that's at least as much as I've gotten out of this so far from the presentations that were made the other night and the report we got back from the Parks Commission. So anything you'd like to say?
Well, we'd like know if there's going to be a schedule for these strategic meetings,
yeah,
so we can actually get together and make some progress and do whatever due diligence you need us to do to forward the process.
And what we'll do will be very well advertised and promoted, and we're going to we obviously tell the press, but unfortunately, I wish everybody read every newspaper there was, especially all the local ones, but we're also going to be sending out announcements through a web site, and also Natalie Salee, our finance director, see if there's some way we can put that on the bills, because the bills go to a lot of people for the utilities. And what we have to do first, the very first step, is hiring a professional facilitator so that we do this right. Because if we're asking people to dedicate their time to coming out and providing us, we don't want this to be just a informal discussion. We want people to freely talk and tell us what's on their mind, but we want to make sure that the information is being gathered in a very organized way that's proven to work in other areas, because once we get the input, then we've got to come up with the priorities and the plans. And I know, like I say, I'm encouraged by the idea that, you know, a temporary facility may happen, it seems to me, logically, could happen a lot faster, and then while that is being enjoyed, then work towards something that's permanent and hopefully state-of-the-art and again, adds to making Berlin a destination community. Because that, I just want you to understand, that is always an underlying thought, and much that we do is how can anything we add to the community help make this a destination, certainly something that our local residents can enjoy, and your personal family and guests, but we also want to be a place that's attractive to people, not just in our immediate backyard, but throughout the region. This sounds like a natural. I mean, you know, I've been this way. I don't know anybody at this point. I haven't heard anybody that's against this idea. I think what we want to do is find out, all right, how much interest is there? And that helps us to kind of figure out where it falls in the wish list.
Yes. If I could add something, if you're interested in the schedule, you can always give me your email. I'll hang around after the end of the meeting and just give me your email address, because we can also send you an email directly and let you know, here's the schedule and here's what we're planning on having the meeting.
One of the bills that Laura asked tonight, I don't know if you understood, but one of the things was that we've looked at three facilitators, and we've, you know, kind of like one that, you know, if we choose them, that's part of the piece to start the meetings. And then the mayor asked Laura, and I think you said January, February, so these, you know, get through the holidays right now, start these meetings. You know, you guys be creative. Maybe you can find someone to let you use some land for a while. You know, Troy, I know, has a relationship with the Dutour. They're willing to donate some ramps, so on. But maybe we could, you know, do a temporary place sooner than later. But, you know, we just got to get through the holidays right now. Choose this facilitator. Get these meetings going in January and February. And frankly, we're going to have to be creative like we've done with everything else. It's going to be partnerships and people working together and volunteering and helping.
I think that is going to be the key component, because almost everything this town is doing, it's not just the town government. The town government, I think we're here to provide the foundation and the support, but basically the citizens are the co-creators of everything that I think is making this town cool. And again, the idea, and especially initially, I don't think we're going to go from zero to having a full-fledged parks and recreation thing, because the money will dictate how much we can do, how fast. But almost everything we do that is a really impressive and beneficial to this town is made possible by volunteers. So, and I've been encouraged from what I've heard. I've been very encouraged from what I've been hearing, and I want to tell you this: I've been interviewed more this past year than hopefully I ever will be in my entire life because of that designation as America's coolest small town. But I was asked often, and it was a question I had not anticipated: who are the most important people in town? And they were anticipating me talking about people of financial means, people of political influence. And I said, no, not Berlin. Berlin, the most important people in our town are volunteers, because almost everything we do depends on volunteers who care, are dedicated to it, and are dependable, and are here year in and year out. And I think we need to keep that in mind as we develop a plan, both the short-term plan and then the longer-term plan, how we can work together as a community. Because quite frankly, I think we can accomplish almost anything, you know, with as long as it's not too expensive, as long as we get the volunteer effort involved. But we're for this. Mm-hmm. We're very much for this.
Right.
Anything you should.
Yeah, I might add, the people involved in the skateboard community in this town. I mean, there's 75 years of skateboarding right here. And
some of you must be
probably another 35 sitting up there. And, you know, so And a lot of us have been, you know, there's business owners here. You know, I've built skate parks for Los Angeles, the city of Los Angeles, a skate park. I'm not trying to show myself. I'm saying the skateboarders and the community of the active community has a lot of experience in due diligence and consulting in the physical aspect of building design. It would benefit you when it comes to that point to discuss it with one of the individuals, and we could reference you to the right individual.
Well, here's what I'm saying. We're encouraging anyone who has a sincere interest in this. Not just one. I'll give you an example. One possible thing that has worked in the most recent thing. It's totally different, but the basic premise is the same. If you remember that terrible tragic accident we had on US 113 in Bay Street November of a year ago, some communities, everybody would have gotten upset and that'd been the end of it. What we did here is that we invited people who cared, and it was from every neighborhood in the community, and we formed a Citizens Pedestrian Safety Committee. And they just didn't sit around and produce a report. In fact, because we're not interested in reports, we're interested in getting things done. And they immediately started working with the State Highway Administration and their Office of Traffic and Safety. And we are now a model, and it's not even finished yet. It won't be finished until next summer. But that intersection out there is unique. It's going to be unique to a small town. Usually, small towns are not even considered. So here's the thing. The citizens made that happen. That is how I see this development. We'll be here to support. We will be here to provide our part of the partnership. And this is a matter again of, you know, there sounds like the talents out there, the knowledge. We just need to look at all the options, and it's how everything else has worked. I can't emphasize enough how partnerships, good partners with a good idea. I'm convinced we can get this done. But I do think that, to be realistic, let's go for something that we can, let's go for the low-hanging fruit first, where we can have a skateboard park and show its benefits, and maybe it won't be the ultimate, but it'll be good, something we're proud of. But then say, okay, now, how do we go and have something that's, you know, world-class? Why not?
Agreed.
There's no reason we can't shoot for that.
I'd like to add that, when I met you, it was part of Grow Berlin Green's initiative to create the, circumnavigate the town with a greenway, and I would just like to see that implemented as part of the skate park, is to move forward with the project in any way possible. It's a larger scale idea, but the whole purpose of that green belt was to keep people off of 113 and give them a way to get around the town without cutting straight through it, which is what a lot of times causes issues for pedestrians. The bicycle marks are called sharrows, and that brings us into the 21st century. That's a normal, everyday event everywhere else. Occasionally, State Highway Administration pushes you into directions or, you know, tighter situations than you'd like. But I think that overall, the town is moving forward with these types of ideas, and we just want to make sure that you understand that we're supporting. And that we want to make sure that you know that we are waiting to move forward with it. And, you know, we don't always know when to show up and when to leave you alone. And so, you know, ultimately, you know.
This is coming, again, this, what I'm, you know, we haven't begun the process. And I want to certainly get the experience and advice of the facilitator that we're going to
have. Well, that's what I was going to say, is will this project be something like what Kate did, where she had large maps and people said, I want this here, I want this here, and, you know, over time it was created in a way that was organized.
Excellent. But having never done it, that's my expectation.
Yeah, well, she did an excellent job so far.
Yes.
It just seems like, you know, we had the ribbon cutting ceremony at BIS and the sidewalks are open. And then, you know, after that, I keep looking at the project and reading over it, and I don't see any movement forward in the ideas that she had with the way that it'll work out. And some of the properties, you know, may be sold or could move on. There's a limit to how much time you can wait, too. So I appreciate your effort with the temporary situation.
Yeah, and here's the situation. We're here. I do not believe the government should be doing everything and everybody else watching.
Agreed.
I think that we should be here to respond to the action and investment of time and energy and caring and ideas.
Oh, of course.
That the people...
Right, you're not going to tell us what to do. We're asking you to help us do what we
exactly.
want to do.
Exactly.
And move it forward.
So again, and I have to say, I don't know. I don't know. All, you know, Kate's got a full... full plate.
Oh yeah.
But we did get that grant that, you know.
Sure, I wrote a letter of recommendation for it.
Yes, and we thank you. But that's just the beginning of the beginning. And usually we found once you can get one grant and then you show you use the money wisely, it makes it easier to get the next one.
That's why I'm here today. Being a volunteer of a nonprofit group with the International Mountain Bike Association. You know, can provide that benefit. I'd just like to add that in Pocomoke at the Cypress Park, there is somewhat of it's a permanent skate park, but it is temporary features. And so if you need an example to look at in our own county, there is a place where kids can skate. It's right underneath the 113 bridge. It's not the highest quality, like you were saying, you know, it's bolt together type skate equipment.
It's a start, and it's a place for them to skate. And
it's just too far
skate.
For these young men to skate to.
Right.
But now that the highway has been marked more well with Sharrows and everything like that, I just wanted to bring that to everyone's attention that's here, that those Sharrows mean so much to me and the people that have been pushing for safer bikeways from here all the way over to the other side of Berlin in Ocean Pond. I can't get as much traction, and so I really just wanted to show my appreciation by being here tonight and helping everyone else out that's put a lot of effort into it.
And I guess we're not going to force every one of these initiatives to be into one template. Basically, we found that creative people each have a different way of working with things. I would encourage you to meet some of the folks if you haven't already from the arts and entertainment thing. It's very, very interesting. Arts and entertainment is a very growing aspect of the community.
Sure.
And they embrace things that have nothing. I guess our definition of arts is living, right? So when the Berlin Little League had their celebration, the arts and entertainment folks requested, as the Little League thought was a great idea, that they have their celebration on our Friday night art stroll.
Sure, sure. I mean, I've attended art strolls, sold my artwork. I volunteered with the Worcester County Art Council and did Arts on Wheels programs in the mid-90s. So I'm 100% with you. I just think that sometimes people worry that they're going unnoticed, that they've said their piece, and there's a lot of yeses that don't end up being facilitated. We want to make sure that we understand that, you know, the work with the Parks and Recs department, and just, you know, like I said, we don't want to be overbearing. We're not trying to tell people what to do, but we're waiting to be told when we should be doing something.
Well,
so,
here's the thing. My advice at this point, because I'm not going to tell you what to do, but I will say that a consistent and good turnout, not just the same few people, but but people from as many neighborhoods as wherever people care about having a skateboard park, they will participate in the various meetings. That's why we're going to neighborhoods. We're trying to make it easy. Sure, some people would prefer to come to town hall, and that's fine. But we also like to make it very convenient, and that's why what we did with the stormwater utility. We went to the neighborhoods, and I saw people I'd never seen in meetings before. I mean, I knew they lived here and down, but it's just a little less, a little less formal, hopefully a little more small town and inviting. And my advice is to get as many different people to those different strategic planning meetings as possible for this or any other initiative that you want to see happen in this town, because that's what we're looking for, input and advice.
Excellent.
Just curious, and how much notice is there, like, once you guys do decide when you're going to start the meetings? I know you said January, but
I'd say you give at least 2 weeks notice.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
What Mayor and I talked about is there's going to be a kickoff meeting, and there needs to be some time between the kickoff meeting, between the council and staff, and the facilitator to kind of process that information before we can actually be ready for the meetings for the public.
Yeah. Yep.
But I would expect us to have at least 2 weeks notice out there. So
okay, great.
Know. And again, you know, we'll have
that's press plenty, releases. Especially yeah. knowing now that it'll be in January.
Sure. Well, press releases, we'll have stuff on the website, and then again, if you want me to send you an email, mm-hmm. or, just give me your email address.
Yeah, we're happy to...
Direct email.
And I think one thing, the very first step is for the... Make sure we hopefully will choose the right facilitator for this community. And then the very next step is for that facilitator to educate us as what is the best way to get the best results and get the most done with the resources that we have. And, but I am not worried of this way. The most valuable resource we have, again, is public input and volunteers. People,
we're ready.
Yeah, okay.
So
believe me, you have an expectation of us, and you should. But I want you to, be totally frank that we have an expectation of you as well.
Yeah.
And I think I'm very excited. Yes, yes, sir.
I heard a rumor about the racquetball court at Stephen Decatur Park as possibly being a spot for the temporary park. Is that?
I'll put it this way. I've heard so many things that, I mean, really, honestly, that's why I'm anxious to have the meetings.
Okay.
So, because no decision is going to be made until we hear from the public. But I have to tell you, the decision has been made. That this is of high interest to this mayor and council to be one of the things that I hope that the public comes out and supports. Makes sense. To my knowledge, nobody, if they're against it, they sure haven't sent a word to me yet. And I encourage people, I don't think I'm a hard person to approach. If somebody is upset, I expect to hear from them. And most people are just saying, do it now. And I'm going, okay, let's do it organized. Let's get organized. And let's get as much done. I'm just very hopeful. But the cliche would be the squeaky wheel will get the grease. Okay? That's the way it works. And, if you delegate your citizenship by expecting other people to do your job as a citizen for you, then don't expect much. But if your citizens are involved, as they have shown in this town, especially in recent years, it's amazing what can get done. It's not always all about money. The money follows the interest and the creativity and the dedication. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Please stay tuned. And you're welcome. Do we have anyone else? Yes, sir. Say your name, please.
My name is Chad Joins. I was here probably 2 weeks ago.
Uh-huh.
I've been thinking about it a lot ever since, and I just remembered probably a year or two ago, me and a bunch of my friends, which are back there, we went into Ocean Pines. And like the skate park with our bikes. Our main concern is the bikes, because there's plenty of skate parks around here that we can travel to, but we are not allowed to step foot in with a bike. We rode in.
I'm not quite sure if I follow.
That's another thing. They do biking too, like tricks on the bikes and
so
stuff.
A place where you
so they need biking facility as well as skateboarding.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm not.
It's a twofold thing.
Yeah.
Okay. So you want a place that accommodates both activities.
Yes.
Oh, right. Ocean Pines doesn't allow it.
Mm-hmm. Or does Ocean City.
Okay. Well, listen, and I believe in every community, let Ocean City be Ocean City, let Ocean Pines be Ocean Pines, as long as people will let Berlin be Berlin.
Yeah, I was thinking.
Which is, we definitely want to be our own community.
Because a couple years ago, I went into Ocean Pines, rode for probably an hour, not even that, and they kicked us out, and we talked to the person who runs the skate park, and they said that they wouldn't allow us in because of warranty issues, and it would raise the warranty, and then they'd have to start putting admission fees. Mm-hmm. And
it's probably an insurance issue.
Yeah, you're right.
But they
warranty for the skateboards, but they wouldn't warranty the equipment if they were used by the BMX bikes.
And this may add an extra hurdle to the process, but I'm sure I don't think we have to invent everything from scratch.
Right.
There is a community somewhere that's not Los Angeles, but a smaller community somewhere that has solved this problem.
And what we do
is literally so many things, regardless if it's the power plant or whatever it is we reach out to other communities. It doesn't cost anything except time and networking, and then they're usually happy to visit. They either hoping that we can take advantage of more opportunities to visit some other places. That
okay, can you, I'm sorry, I'm not trying to interrupt you, but can you hear me out for about 5 minutes?
Sure.
Okay. I work at Baja Amusements, and I met a guy when I was wearing a Dew Tour hat who works at the Ocean City Skate Park. And he said, oh, were you in the Dew Tour? And I just started having a conversation with him. And he said, well, if you remember my name and you go up there sometime, I might let you ride around for a little bit. And you guys were just talking about a starting step somewhere. Like, you don't have to start in Berlin for us. I'd like you guys to collaborate with the Ocean Pines Commissioner or Ocean City and start by allowing us in there, and we can like give you guys feedback starting with the park. If you guys find an area in the meantime, and we're out there riding and getting ideas, because I'm desperate for a place. I've been to Baltimore. I recently went to Pennsylvania where they had a little park, and like they had just basic things there, and most of the stuff you could actually move around. You could pull half the ramps out and move them wherever you wanted. And it was a really busy park. You'd be surprised. I mean, there were scooters, skateboards, rollerblades, bicycles. They were making, and it was $10 to get in. And you needed a helmet. And there's nothing wrong with adding a couple dollars in for an admission fee so that you can pay more for warranty or have repaired ramps and let other people in. Because I have nowhere to go. A bunch of my friends have nowhere to go at all.
And here's what I'm saying. We want you to have a place to go. And we want it to be safe. I mean, that's our number one priority. And I don't know about safety, about you falling off your bike or flipping, wiping out or something like that. We're talking about safety in terms of safety from the few, unfortunately, really terrible people that are going. We're trying to make this a community, and it's working so far, where everybody's looking out for each other and to really... creepos just leave because they just can't get away with anything. And I have to tell you, that's our first responsibility. But here's the other thing. If you know a place like this, it would be important to, you know, to tell, again, to work through our deputy town administrator and identify it, then maybe we can get some, at least maybe a visit or have somebody get a video. You know, seeing is everything. And that's why we started putting these up, so that every now and then, when someone is presenting their organization, or if a department head is telling us, showing us improvements, we can actually see it, and the public can see it. It's the old cliche again: a picture's worth a thousand words. If you've got places in mind that show different alternatives, please just tell us. Mm-hmm. We need to educate ourselves, mm-hmm. and look at what is feasible and do what is most practical first, and then build on. So I very much encourage you. I do want to say this. Realistically, we're trying to figure out what we can get done between now and spring. That's like part, you talk about the highest of priorities, spring and summer, then fall, then maybe things that will take a year and a half, and then things that might take 2.5 years. But I just want to give you some perspective here. So if you have ideas that can be implemented as quick as that, our biggest thing then is some things may have to wait until the beginning of our new budget year, which is July 1, which, although it seems like forever, it's only 6 months.
Mm-hmm. But I think what the mayor's saying is you can help us. You guys are familiar with the sport. You're familiar with the equipment. You realize what he's saying, that, you know, we'd like to get you something out here as soon as possible. You guys need to get together and talk about, point us in the right direction. You know, this is what we need. This is something smaller. This is inexpensive, but we can get the most use out of this for a while. You know, we're not expecting all this big fancy, but you all can help us get this done by just giving us the information, giving Mary the names of these places where she can go on the website, kind of start looking and visualizing. That's what you can do to help us. Give us the information.
And the other thing I just want to point out is, because a lot of people don't realize it, we thank goodness, are not a debating society. And if it becomes a debating society, I'll just get the hell out of here. Because this is clear a decision-making organization. And that's, we're here to make decisions on behalf and with the help and input of the citizenry. But these folks right here, that's why they attend our meetings. They are our department heads. They are the people that every day go to work to improve Berlin. And so we're asking you to work directly with them, because we all do a lot of things. Ultimately, we're going to take advice and input from these folks who have expertise in different areas. And it's not like they don't. Thank goodness, with some say they don't have to make the final decision, but they can. They're expected to make recommendations. So work closely with them. I think you're going to find them some nice people, and they want to make things happen too.
Another thing is, I'd like to help in any way that I can. I mean, if you guys want me to go talk to the guys in Ocean Pines or Ocean City and just give me a starting idea, if you guys want to help me, like, just add in a couple of dollars and let me in there, and then I could get ideas, or I could start a fundraiser, because my mom has been talking about starting fundraisers for anything. So if you guys wanted to start anywhere, I want to be the heart of it. I want this more than anybody in the world. Okay. I've lived here my whole life, and I've just progressed with it, and I need somewhere bigger now. I mean, I can't walk into my backyard and do something, but I'd like to go somewhere anyway.
Come from Pennsylvania. If you name, address, and everything else. And one thing I know, it's skateboarding, BMX. Mm-hmm. I know how to build these things. I know how to do it all. I mean, I can definitely help. But that name and address, that place in Pennsylvania, I'm interested in.
And see, that's what we need. You need to feed us the information and, so we can...
Whoever runs it.
Yeah, here's the thing. I knew you were talking about... We can look at Ocean City, but basically... What we're trying to do is be our own unique community and do it our own way. Which is, our own way means the way that people here work. The people who are actually active and interested. So what I would say is, concentrate your time. Get ideas from anywhere. But the key thrust is for us to establish something here. For too long, people here had any kind of recreational activity. Back when I was small, there was Little League baseball. And then that was it. quite frankly, what I want to do is, let Ocean City be Ocean City, let Ocean Pines be Ocean Pines, but I want people to let Berlin be Berlin. And we will probably be different in what we emphasize and what we identify and create as our reason for people to come here and live here. Ultimately, we want them to be guests first, but hopefully we want them to fall in love with the place and nothing, and with the people, and with the things that are here to do, that they decide this is where they want to be, or this is where they want to raise their kids. So yeah, we're definitely on the same wavelength. It's just, I want you to work through the folks that are here every day, and again, be part of the process. I know it's a little cumbersome, a little timely, but I'm hoping, just like the skateboard park, that some other things I've been hearing about will also come to the forefront. But it's up to the citizens to bring the ideas to us. It's not up to us to look into a magic ball and try to figure out what people are thinking.
Mm-hmm. But you have shared with us this evening that in the consideration for a skate park, don't forget the bikes. Mm-hmm. And the gentleman that was up here before you talked about park and Pocomo. So I would gather by what's been said, locally there's not a park that accommodates both bikes and skateboards, right?
Just bikes specifically. It's not even a bike park.
It's not a bike park. So
you guys have it in the palm of your hand.
So tell me how I can go online and look at a park that will accommodate these bikes. Where can I go?
The closest place that I've been to, just like he said back there, I went to Charm City in Baltimore a couple of years back. That was the first park I've ever ridden in. And, I mean, it's not the greatest place in the world either. It's just like any place in Baltimore. It's not pretty, but it'll get the job done. But, I mean, I had the time of my life there for 3 hours.
Where Pennsylvania has all for bikes and...
Well,
Where's that?
Woodward and Temple.
But what could we Google? Like BMX bike parks? What's the buzzword to look up?
Woodward is probably one of the highest places to go because it is like a week-long camp. They have tons of things to do.
What's it considered, a BMX park?
It's everything. Okay. They have every single thing that you can do there.
This is a bet to me.
Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Thank you. If I could add, Bethlehem, Pennsylvania has a Rails to Trails program that you can ride your bike with your family to the skate park that allows bicycles, and the casino built it all. And it's a really good model because you can do everything family-oriented. You can leave the kids there and then go enjoy yourself with the rest of your family that's old enough and then come back, pick everybody up, and commute to it. And that's one of the things as a cyclist that I'm interested in is these destinations are excellent, but like I said with the Sharrows, it's the journey that is most popular now.
Right,
and
right.
Being able to go from and between the different places is as important as the places are themselves. But like the young man said, there's absolutely nowhere that they can ride their bicycles, do freestyle trick riding. We're not even talking about actual jumps. You know, it's a different form of biking. And so I'm a mountain biker, and I have the same problem on the shore as people don't understand why I'm trying to build mountain bike trails at the beach. And it's because of the recreation, the love of the outdoors. Mm-hmm. Similarly, these guys are doing something, and both of my sons use scooters, bicycles, and larger skateboards that aren't suitable for our regular skate park. So I think that's one of our biggest concerns is that the skate park needs to be a bigger picture.
Not just a skate park.
It's it would be a multi-use type park.
Mm-hmm. Skate park is just the most common
term. Equestrians, they allow hikers. These guys need a place where they can ride their bikes without scrutiny. The cool thing about stuff like that, especially pump tracks, is young ladies on longboards can follow their friends on their rollerblades with the roller skates. Any wheeled device can work on a lot of these surfaces. And it's fairly new technology within the past 10 years. There's a company, PBR, that has a 10-year warranted $1 million life insurance policy on their equipment that they make. They're designing it to be used all over the world in places that have salt water. So it's not like a huge risk in that respect. It's the same as building a basketball court, swimming pool, or a golf course. It's just another sport. You can get hurt in any sport that you do. When you buy the ticket to go skiing, it tells you on the back that when you get hurt, it's your fault. And this is the same kind of situation. And I think everyone here just wants to try to get on the same page.
Yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. Just make sure that, you know, things are changing so much, you know, it's hard to explain the difference between everything that we're doing. We all have a different vehicle, but we're trying to enjoy the same outdoor atmosphere, you know.
Well, but the concept of having a collective area that is multi-use and they're fun. Fun is the key word here.
Got it written on my hand.
It is definitely in line with what we're trying to do with the community.
And no carbon footprint.
Yeah, and the thing, all I'm saying is any information. Laura, if Mary happens to be out, ask for Laura. You know, whatever. But if you can get us, you know, I know myself, I do most of my research on my computer, on my tablet. I mean, my gosh, I can't literally leave town every time there's an idea and go check it out in person, but I can certainly get on the computer, and it's amazing. I can get three or four things researched in one Saturday morning. So anything you can supply to us like that, we'd love to have it. We'd love to have it.
Thank you very much, Mary.
Yes, did you want to...
Yeah, another thing I need to add about Woodward, it's not financially available for everybody considering the prices that they charge per week. The lowest price I've seen during the early bird special with the gullet is about $900.
Oh, mm-hmm.
So
yeah, you know, but we wanted to make this accessible to everyone.
Mm-hmm. Like having a park closer by instead of the charge city, I think it was only what, 10 to 15 bucks to get in maybe.
Yeah.
And it was indoors, so it was all year round. They have specials running, so it's a website, I think you guys, it's charmcity.com or
probably
something like that. You can go on images of the park.
I don't think people that aren't familiar, I remember the first, I think it was a Diamondback bike I bought my son. Oh my God. I mean, I don't think people realize the amount of money that is invested in skateboards, wheels, bikes, pads, all of it. It's
definitely something that you get into and you can't get out of.
Financial, you know.
I mean, last time that I came here, as soon as the meeting was done, I went out and rode my bike. As soon as I leave here today, I'm going to go out and ride my bike. Like, it's just something that I do every day. If anybody wants to know anything about it, you can just come find me in the streets. That's where else can I go?
I hope you haven't missed the message. I have no doubt of your enthusiasm, your dedication. You need politics 101. Now you got to go out and get a constituency, put them in front of us. Okay? Mm-hmm. That's the way America works, democracy works, when the citizens gather up and they don't come in here and raise hell, they come in here and just share their dreams and their goals and their aspirations. That's why we're here. We want to facilitate that.
I think you're looking for polite perseverance.
Yes. And just y'all get yourselves together and get information for us.
Network and people of all ages, people from all neighborhoods. Okay? It will work. I do believe in this system of government as long as the citizens do their part.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks a lot for coming before us. Can you show and educate me a lot?
He wants to ride.
I do endo board.
Is anyone else wish to address it? Yes, sir. Can you come forward so we can hear you?
All right, so a while back I called you and asked you if me and my friends can go inside of the Tyson factory to skate and ride a bike. You said no, so.
Huge liability, legal liability.
That's exactly what I told you.
Yeah, and you said we could ride around in the parking lot in front or in the parking lot across the street. Can we still do that? Or?
Well, I sold the parking lot across the street, so that's somebody else that didn't have the parking lot right in front there, you're more than welcome.
Okay, I think that's all that.
Thank you. All right. Any other questions or comments? Do you have any questions or comments from the press?
Move to adjourn.
All right. Thank you very much.
Troy, you weren't making a face for me.
Yes, you did.